Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, we'll give you guys a shot to weigh in as well coming up at the top of the hour at 11 a.m. So if you want to start lining up on the phones, do it in about 15 minutes. I know some of you are on hold already, but 15, 20 minutes from now, time to start calling in. All right, the list of things that I liked, and there are plenty of them. Let's just start with high-level offensive execution. You know, this was a good defensive team coming in. We talked about how good they were defensively, you know, coming into on the show on Friday. The Titans were number one on third down defensively. They were second overall in the league in yards allowed, first overall in pass defense, ninth overall in rush defense, ninth overall in DVOA defensively. They were eighth in the league in EPA per play. They were the only team in the league that had three players in the top 15 in the categories of tackles for loss. Their problem all season long was offense and turnovers, primarily by the offense, and some poor special teams play. And we saw that yesterday on display as well. Not that Washington's was much better. We will get to that. But the offensive execution in this game was first rate. First, it started with, this was something I was screaming about the last couple of weeks. You know, especially last week when they were getting dominated up front. But quick game with Jaden, man, is really effective. They came out with quick game. They came out with a strong running game that set the tone early. I counted 11 quick throws or screens out of like the first 15 or 16 called pass plays in the first half. And just for comparison purposes, I think every quick game or screen was a completion, and the dropbacks were not successful in the first half. They resulted in a sack, two pressures, which led to two scrambles, and an incompletion. There was one positive play. It was a defensive hold on a shot to Deami Brown down near the goal line. The hold was actually away from the throw. But the tone setting was quick game and run game with the quarterback being involved, whether he kept it or not. The offensive line was exceptional, you know, and that comes after they were dominated last week. They dominated yesterday a Tennessee front that's been excellent. They were not very good last week against the Cowboys. Andrew Wiley was out. Cornelius Lucas was in the lineup. They were in two tight ends a bunch yesterday. A lot of 12 personnel with Bates and Ertz in the game at the same time. Even Sinnott in the game as well. So their blocking and the run blocking especially was excellent. I thought the backs did a great job with vision, quickness, yards after contact. And Jaden's presence, again, as a possible runner on the majority of running plays was yesterday and has been all year an important factor in their success running the football. 267 yards on 45 attempts, 5.9 yards per carry, 463 total yards of offense. And that's, by the way, at the end, with not being super dynamic and trying to run the ball and kind of run the clock out. 9 of 14, as I mentioned, on third down. Not one team. I went back last week and looked at every game Tennessee's played this year. Not one team has had that kind of success offensively against Tennessee's defense this year. Nobody, not even Detroit, who scored 52 points against the Titans. But in that game, the Lions had a punt return for a touchdown, and the Titans turned it over four times in that game. Trust me, nobody all year did to Tennessee's defense what Washington did to it yesterday. Their head coach, Brian Callahan, said after the game, "We lost the line of scrimmage. If you want to beat a team with the quarterback as part of the run game, you have to win the line of scrimmage. They have a challenging scheme, but every time we looked up, it was third and one or third and two almost every time." That last part of his comment was so true. I told you I would give you the detail on third downs, so let's go to that. Because number two on the list of things I liked after just high-level offensive execution everywhere was just third downs on offense. It was my number one key to winning the game yesterday was to stay on the field. 9 of 14, 64.3% against the number one third down defense in the league. By the way, for comparison purposes, and these aren't exactly apples-to-apples situations because of the games and they were different, but Detroit was only 3 for 9 against Tennessee on third down. Buffalo was only 3 for 10 on third down against Tennessee. Washington, 9 for 14, 64.3%. And here were the breakdowns. Listen to this. They had four third and ones. They had five third and twos. They had three third and threes. 12 third downs of third and three or shorter. The others, by the way, were a little bit longer because of penalties and a sack, two sacks actually. But when you are effective in getting into that kind of down and distance consistently, honestly, I'm sure there are plenty of examples. I can't think of a game in which a team had 12 third and three or shorters. You know, typically you only have about 12 third down opportunities anyway. Sometimes less than that, sometimes more than that. But it also clearly means that your first and second down, you know, offense was working. But third down offense, number two on the list. Here are some specific names on offense that stood out. And the list is long here. All right, so bear with me. We'll start with Jaden because he was 25 of 30 for 206, three touchdowns, his first three touchdown game of his career. Back to a high completion percentage. Again, a ton of quick, easy throws, screens, which I think you got to credit Cliff Kingsbury for. The touchdown pass to Terry on third and goal at the three that made it 28-0, the play we came into the show with, was truly Mahomes, Stafford, Allen-like. You know, all the different arm angle throwers out there, that's what it was, versus the blitz, an unblocked edge rusher, quick release, side-armed, on the money, really good contested catch, of course, always by Terry McLaurin. That's the kind of throw where I think when you see it, you're like, yeah, they got it right. He's the dude, you know? He recognized it pre-snap, knew where the pressure was coming from, knew it was unblocked, knew he had to create a throw that was super quick, quick release, and he had to throw it with an angle, an arm angle, to get the ball around the rusher, and it was on the money. His other touchdown throw to Terry for the 21-0 lead was so good at manipulating the defense. You could see it with his eyes all the way while giving time for Terry, who lined up in the slot on that, to kind of clear the traffic into the end zone. Then he makes a perfect throw. By the way, it was kind of weird on that play that Bates was so close by. But really good throws from Jaden all day long. Loved the quick slant to Terry on 3rd and 1 for 9 yards on their second drive. There was another quick one on that drive to Terry versus zone coverage. Terry sat it down for 11 yards. Such quick release and really good recognition of what Tennessee was doing. When it got to 28-13 in the third quarter, not that, I mean, I didn't feel like this was going to, you know, all of a sudden be a big lead blown. I mean, Tennessee, hey, they had a pick, you know, we'll talk about that. But, you know, Washington kind of needed to respond on that drive down 28-13, and they did. The slant to Terry, where Terry took a big shot, you know, was a really good throw. On that drive, there was a nice throw to Ertz, you know, lofted it in there, kind of over zone coverage, over a first layer for 25 yards. Loved the play design on the touchdown pass to Ertz that made it 35-13 to end that drive. Finally, in the early portion of the fourth quarter, it was a fake zone read on 3rd and 2 inside the 10. And then it's really used as like play action. And you see him after he fakes the zone read and sucks the defense up. Then he backs up and he lofts a beautiful throw to Ertz for the touchdown. Just a lot of really good plays overall in the pass game. There were a few he'd like to have back. The interception was a high ball. More on him than Ertz, in my opinion. There have been too many drop passes in recent games, you know, on Jaden, but that one was high. Look, his very first throw of the game to Terry in the quick game was a bit high. You know, we talked about some of those that hit the dirt against Philly in the Thursday night game. I actually think his misses tend to be higher overall. But anyway, on the drive in the first half that ended with the first of two missed Zane Gonzalez field goals, they ran a quick look on a play action to Zacchaeus in the flat after they had faked Zacchaeus in the backfield. It's one of those plays where you get the action in the backfield, you get the, you know, the quick fake handoff, and then you're looking at Zacchaeus in the flat. It sucks the defense up, and you throw behind the sucked up defense into that honey hole. It's not exactly the honey hole against cover two that, you know, Cooley's talked about and others have talked about all these years, but there's that hole behind the defense that's coming up to stop the quick throw to Zacchaeus. And Jaden, he completes the ball to Noah Brown, but it's a bad throw. He leads him to the sideline, and it's an 11-yard play. If he leads him inside, it's probably a touchdown. That was the play where afterwards Jaden's pointing to himself, smiling, but saying, my bad, you know, missed, not a good throw. He'd love to have that one back. That would have made it 35-0. His first sack actually came a few plays after that. I thought that that sack, that there was an escape route to the left, but he actually ran into the pressure to the right, and that set up one of the first, you know, and only few third and longs on the day, and that preceded the first missed field goal. The other sack, by the way, was the one before the second missed field goal by Gonzalez in the fourth quarter. It was 3rd and 2 at the Tennessee 30. They got confused up front with a stunt, and there was an immediate pressure on Jaden, and he's trying to avoid losing field goal range because he's about to get sacked for about an 8 or 9 yard loss back to about the 40-41 yard line. And I think, you know, he pushes the ball forward before being taken to the ground. I think it actually could have been called an incomplete pass. McNichols was right there. I think it was McNichols. May have been Rodriguez. Allegretti jumps on the ball, and they did call it a fumble. You know, so he minimized the 9 yard loss, but did it with kind of a high risk play up 35-13. I'm not saying that he'd want that back necessarily. It wasn't his fault. There was an immediate pressure. They just lost the edge rusher on a stunt. He had no real shot on the play. Yeah, I mean, other than those few plays, running-wise, 9 for 34. I think there was a solid run called back by a penalty, but he was solid as a scrambler and as a zone read runner. For Jaden, it was overall an A performance for the quarterback. You know, another one. I mean, that's probably out of the 13 games he's played, that's 8 or 9 A or, you know, A-plus performances. You know, back as a solid front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year, although Bo Nix plays tonight for Denver against Cleveland. Other specific performances that stood out, obviously Terry McLaurin, 8 catches, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. For him, he now has the most touchdowns in a season in his career. You know, he was tied with the 7 that he had his rookie year going into yesterday. 2 more puts him at 9 this year. He's also, you know, clearly on pace for more likely than not his highest yardage season of the year. Receptions wise, he's 26 short of what he had in 2020 with 4 games left. They targeted him early. That was nice to see in quick game. You can do that with Terry, especially if they're playing off, you know, and gets the quarterback into rhythm, gets Terry some touches. They lined him up, you know, in different spots, not exclusively on one side. The touchdown catch was out of the slot. I don't know what the final breakdown of where he lined up is. We can look at that later. But Terry, man, is a contested catch guy. There aren't that many better than him. He's so good. You know, he's got a lot of opportunities on contested catches. What does that speak to? That speaks to a couple of things. Number one, it speaks to he's getting the toughest assignment because they don't have anybody on the team right now that's close to what he can do to a defense. So you're drawing the best coverage. You're drawing, you know, sometimes bracketed or even double coverage. He's also not the greatest separator in the game. You know, he just isn't. But does it matter if he's going to catch everything that's, you know, anywhere near being catchable? Because that's what he does. 8 catches, 73 yards on the day. By the way, other receivers, I was glad to see Luke McCaffrey have a couple of catches, that 4th down catch. I think De'Ami Brown, they are now working more to De'Ami Brown. He's been the guy in the reverse game. He's been the guy at times, along with Zacchaeus, but more so De'Ami in some of the jet sweep stuff. And they throw more bubbles to De'Ami maybe than anybody else. He's got a burst. He's got speed. And you can see that they look at De'Ami Brown maybe a little bit differently now than they did earlier in the season. That's good to see, you know, that not every draft choice from the last regime is needing resuscitation. Noah Brown got injured in the game. He's a big-time target for Terry, for Jaden. He loves him. You know, Ertz was solid. I thought all 3 running backs were really good. They are so much better with Brian Robinson Jr. healthy. He is just super good with his vision. He is explosive in the hole. He also is yards after contact. I thought McNichols ran well. But let's face it, I mean, every single time Chris Rodriguez gets an opportunity, it seems like, he produces. I know it's the end of the game, it's the 4th quarter, etc., but they are lined up trying to stop the run. 13 for 94 and a touchdown for number 36. I think Rodriguez has been since he arrived. He's a good runner. You know, there are other reasons that they have released him and signed him back and released him and signed him back. But, you know, in terms of what he's capable of doing on a football field, solid. Again, the 3 running backs combined for 229. I really like McNichols and what he's done as a runner. I think he's got terrific vision as well. So all 3 running backs on the list of things that I liked. I mentioned Diami Brown. Defensively, it starts with Luvu, man. This guy is just an absolute menace. You know, Frankie Luvu, you get him next year in year two of this system, you add a little bit more to the defensive side of the ball. Frankie Luvu is a Pro Bowl player. He has incredible anticipation ability. He senses everything. How many batted balls has he had in the last three games? I think it's five in total. He's their best. We can say what we want about Fowler Jr. and, you know, at times a couple of the other guys. He's their best pass rusher. He is their most explosive pass rusher. He's their biggest hitter. I love Frankie Luvu. Look, I'm going to put Sanra still on the list of things that I liked. I know that he gave up in coverage the touchdown pass at the end of the first half, but he also forced a fumble. He was in coverage a couple times. I think it was it him or Noah I that broke up the two-point conversion? I'm actually forgetting now.
That was Noah I.
That was Igbinoghene. Okay. I just like everything I see with Sanra still. Look, corners are going to get beat occasionally. And by the way, their receiver, Westbrook Akine, is good. He's been very good now for, you know, certainly three seasons, Denton. Every bit of three seasons, two and a half seasons. And, you know, Sanra still takes on those challenges, you know, in man coverage and has played them pretty well for a lot of the last three, four, five games. Loved the play that Walker made on special teams. Not only did he knock that ball out, he recovered it. Who else stood out? Not Walker. I'm sorry. It was Tyler Owens. Tyler Owens, number 40, knocked it out, and Walker recovered it. Yeah. I mean, really excellent job across the board on offense and defense. Really pleased with everything. And again, to me, the vibe going into this break, it could have been disastrous with a loss. It could have been deep breath, they won, but dot, dot, dot. But it was the best case scenario. It was a win, and it was impressive on both sides of the ball. Oh, also on the list of things that I liked. Let's face it, Tennessee had something to do with this. I think Washington forced most of it. They're 3-9 for a reason. They turned the ball over too much. They had two turnovers, short fields that Washington capitalized with touchdowns. By the way, Washington 5-for-7 in the red zone, also on the list of things that I liked. Tennessee had 12 penalties overall, but had in the first half, hold on, where is it? In the first half, they had 11 penalties for 85 yards. They are a self-destructive unit. That's the bottom line. They've got a quarterback that is wildly inaccurate. Not a good decision maker. He does have a big arm. You got to give Levis, you know, credit. He's got a big arm, and he actually, when he is on target, he looks the part. But 75 to 80% of the time, he's bungling around, not knowing what he's seeing, not knowing what he's doing, and he's just not very good at this point. I think one of the keys to in jumping on Tennessee early the way they did, with a touchdown to start the game, with a second touchdown, with two turnovers that led to touchdowns, is Tennessee couldn't run the football because there wasn't a lot of it. But it was their second drive. In fact, their second drive of the game, they ran it for a first down with Pollard on like two straight runs. It was like two or three straight runs. Maybe that wasn't the drive. May have been their third. One of their drives, Pollard had like 11 yards and three runs, 12 yards and three runs. And then they got away from it. And they got behind, so they couldn't run the football. But Pollard was 8-for-35 for 4.4 yards. It's really important, you know, to be productive offensively and take advantage of the opportunities that the other team gives you, because then you make a team like Tennessee one-dimensional, and they're not good if that one dimension is throwing the football. They're not. Really, really good day offensively and defensively. However, there is a concern, and we will get to that when we come back and go through the list of things that I didn't like from the game. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.